Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
If you'd open your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 5 and Philippians chapter 4, the video we saw said that all life is important. It mentioned many categories. One was the age, the elderly. And our elderly are going to be having prime timers this Thursday. And it finally dawned on me, because normally when we get together, we have a great spread. And not that soup and salad isn't a great spread, but that's a little bit of a lighter meal, huh? Soup and salad. Do you know why? It's the Christmas in January party. How many put on enough pounds at Christmas time, huh? Soup and salad is a great meal to have in January. Help you accomplish that New Year's resolution. But all life is important to God. The young, the old, the sick, the needy, those in prison, those crushed by injustice, orphans, people of all ethnics, people of all political and social and economic standings, all life is important to God. It says in Acts 17:26, He is made from one blood, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. We are all from one blood. We are all descendants of Adam. All of us are one. You maybe haven't thought of that, but the Oriental, the African American, the Hispanic, the Caucasian, we are all one blood. We all came from Adam. We are all important to God. That's why all life is precious. And this morning, I want to share with you a message called Why We Give to Missions. Why We Give to Missions. Next week, we're having our missions convention. We're going to transform this sanctuary right after service. We need a bunch of people to help and stay and take down chairs in the side and set up missions booths. And if you can help out, you can see Angela right after the service. Stick around for that. But we're going to have inflatables, games, prizes. It's going to be a wonderful time. And then Jacob Bach is going to do a kids' crusade for all of the kids. That's on Saturday from 2 to 5. Sunday morning, Jacob is going to speak, and he is a street preacher on the streets of Madrid, Spain. Madrid, in the square there, it'd be like Times Square. Can you imagine someone preaching at Times Square, New York City? That's what Jacob does in Spain almost every night of the week. He has a whole team of people, 20, 30 people go out with him. And he's just going to be sharing. It's going to be a powerful time. But there's every year, it seems like somebody says, why do we have missions convention? Why do we take all this time, all this energy, even this money to bring in a missionary and talk about missions? Aren't there enough needs in Casper? Well, we could say, yes, there are enough needs here in Casper. And we do some things to reach out those needs. Our food pantry ministers to 125 families on average this week. I heard Barb Walters share that at a ministers meeting this week. Barb's the head of our food pantry. They need more help. If you'd like to join her, see Barb right after service. We provide a rescue mission meal. Every month we go to the mission, we provide a meal to the homeless, to the needy, to the hungry that are there. As a church, we are trying to be a lighthouse in this community. Do you know how much money we spend on mortgage, utilities, staffing, curriculum, just programming so that we can touch Casper? If we add up everything we spent on us touching the city compared to what we send out to the world, that what we send out to the world is a very small amount. Why do we give to missions? The answer is what we just saw on the video. And it's actually the first point in your notes today. We're going to look at three reasons why we give to missions. Here's the first reason we give to missions is that all people matter to God. All people matter to God. Look at your neighbor and say, you matter to God. The fact that we are created in the image of God, that we are one blood, is why we give to missions. Because every single person on the face of this planet matters to God. This is what Psalm 139, verse 17 says. It says, how precious also are your thoughts to me? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Do you realize how much you matter to God? I know a lot of people that don't feel they really matter. They're not all that important to God. Some people, sometimes we go through problems in life, and it makes us doubt and wonder and say, God, do you really care about me right now? How many have ever felt that way before? You wonder, Lord, are you there? I know some people, because of what has happened to them as a child growing up, they just feel that God didn't look out over them. He didn't take care of them. He wasn't there for them. I know some people that feel like God is the wicked stepmother and they are Cinderella. They feel like they've gotten the short end of the stick. Friends, according to the Bible, God has precious thoughts to you. You are precious to God, Roy Stevens. You are precious to God, Barbara Walters. You are precious to God, Wade Holmes. Every single person is precious to the Lord. It says his thoughts, he has precious thoughts to us. You say, well, God maybe has like 600 million for Catherine Morgan, but he only has six for me. It says, if you would count all the precious thoughts God has for you, how much are they? They outnumber the sand. How many have ever been to Lake Alcova to Sandy Beach, that big, tall hill that's covered with beautiful white sand? Some of you have. God's precious thoughts towards you outnumber the sand at Sandy Beach. It outnumbers the sand of the beach in Cabo, down in Mexico, the beaches of Florida, of the Keys, the beaches all along the Atlantic coast, the Pacific coast, all the beaches in the world. Friends, that's a lot of sand. And that's a lot of precious thoughts. You matter to God. And here's the thing. God wants all of us to be missionaries. But if you do not feel that you matter to God, then it's hard to feel that other people matter to God, because we convey our feelings about us. And it's hard to see how God could love anyone if he can't love us. There are some of you today that need to go on a journey, a walk with the Holy Spirit through Scripture, and say, Lord, show me how you feel about me. Show me that I can, that you care, that I matter. Look at verses that say, you are the head and not the tail. Verses that say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Verses that say, you are the apple, the focus of God's eye. Verses that say, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, because how God feels about Christians is how he feels about you if you have received Christ as your Savior. Every single person in the world matters to God. Our missionaries minister to all kinds of people. Last week on our missions video, we saw a video of the Halls down in Nicaragua ministering to needy children. Jacob Bach, who's going to be with us next week, he's on the streets of Spain, Madrid. Richard Farthing, instead of being on the streets, he goes out into the bush country of Bolivia, out in the backcountry to tiny villages, taking his Speed the Light vehicle up mountainsides and through muddy roads, if you could even call them that. He has a ministry to the prisoners, men and women in prison, and to the children, because down in Bolivia, a child that's born in prison and has nowhere to go lives in the prison. And if the parents do not have money, those kids starve, and they bring a bus to the prison every week. 5 days a week, they take 100 kids out of the prison. They take them to a location. They educate them. They train them in spiritual things. They give them 3 meals a day. They bring the kids back. They give them Christmas presents. They have a fantastic ministry. Our missionaries minister to those in prison, to those in the cities, to those out in the highways and byways, to the remote parts of the world. We have missionaries like Doyle Robinson, who is in Denver, ministering to the runaway kids, to the orphans, to those that have been abandoned. We have missionaries like Curtis Hobb, who's from our very own church. Curtis ministers to the students in Poland, and Chi Alpha Ministries there. We have ministries like Derek Buescher, who is at University of Wyoming, ministering to the students at Chi Alpha there, to all the students on the campus. I just want to say thank you for your generous missions giving, because we were able to help them with $1,400 in extra expenses. They had a missionary associate come in that was moving in, and we gave them $500 to help her move in. She is going to be with them as a year as a staff member. She's doing it volunteer. She's raised her own support. She's going to help them minister on the campus. We also gave them another $900 to do some repairs on a house that's right off campus, and they use it as a ministry center and do Bible studies and have activities to reach the students. Your missions dollars helped us to minister to the Bouchers. We have missionaries like David Grant, who's rescuing girls 12, 13, 14 years old that have been sold or kidnapped and enslaved in prostitution. Friends, you can't imagine the devastation. There are some families, their daughters are being promised an education or a job in the city, and when they get to the city, they're given to men and they're prostituted. When you give to missions, you're giving to some of the least of these. Missionaries like Isaac Olivares, who's going to be with us in March, who's planting a church in inner city Denver. Missionaries like David Pant Leo, who's going to be with us in June, who ministers to the bikers. They go to these biker rallies across America, and they give out free pancakes, and they minister, and they do church services. They minister to the bikers and build relationships with them. We have missionaries like Duke Edwards, who is planting a church here in Wyoming. And because of your generous missions giving, we gave them $4,000 to help them with their church. Here's the exciting thing. Duke has recruited a team of 23 people from across America to move to Pinedale. How many want to move to Pinedale? Hopefully no one listening online from Pinedale is offended, okay? But how many know that Pinedale's not a metropolis like maybe Florida or Denver? I mean, it's easy to get people to come to Denver. I mean, you've got IKEA, you've got, you know, all these restaurants and stuff, Cheesecake Factory, but Pinedale? And God has laid it on 23 people's hearts to go to Pinedale. We gave them $4,000 to buy a furnace for their sanctuary, chairs for their sanctuary. They just got this in October. They're remodeling it. They want to launch here at the end of the month. And then also a laptop, a computer for their office. When you give to missions, you are helping us touch people in Pinedale, in Denver, in Indian reservations, overseas, Nicaragua, Africa, China, all over the world. And the reason we do it is because every single person matters to God. God so much cares about the world that He called us to touch the world. Acts chapter 1, we're kind of familiar with that after the Holy Spirit conference, but it says, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, your hometown, Judea, your surrounding area, to Samaria. Samaria was the outcast, the lowlifes, to the undesirables, and then to the uttermost part of the world. God has called you and I to be witnesses in all of these different areas. Jesus said in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that the rich, the Hispanics, those that like the Denver Broncos. No, whosoever, that encompasses everyone. God wills that none perish, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, but that all should come to everlasting life. I want you to look at our text this morning. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The setting of this, it's around the throne of heaven. And it's talking about Christ has, through His blood that we just celebrated, His body and blood sacrificed on the cross, through His blood, He redeemed people out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. God cares for the world. We give to missions because all people matter to God. That's the first reason we give to missions. All people matter to God. What's the second reason? The second reason we give to missions, if you're taking notes this morning, is how do the lost hear without someone to preach to them? How do the lost hear without someone to preach to them? Romans chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." There we see all matter to God. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent?" Friends, missionaries must be sent. That has been the biblical pattern of mission since the New Testament. In Philippians chapter 4, this is our first example. We're going to see this in the Bible. It's also one of the scriptures we wanted you to turn to this morning. Look at verse 14. Paul was sent by others. He was supported by others. It says, "Nevertheless, you've done well that you've shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Why? I receive from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, that last verse, how many have ever quoted that verse when you've been in a financial need? "My God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory." How many? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Several of you. I've done that before. Do you understand the context of that? Why could Paul say, "God will supply your needs"? The reason he said God will supply your needs is because when I was in need, you put the kingdom of God first and you sent to me. He said, in fact, you just didn't send once, but you sent me a couple times. You sent once and again. And because you have sought first the kingdom of God, he will add everything to you. See, here's the thing in my life. There's a lot of times we want God to take care of us, but we're not willing to walk in obedience to him. We don't want to return the tithe. We don't want to give offerings as he prompts things on our heart. God, how can I give? I'm short in my finances this month. I have to wait and see if I have money to give the tithe. I have to wait and see if I have any left over before I can help this benevolence need, before I can give to missions, before I can help with True Care. Are you willing to say, "Lord, I believe that 100% of what I have is yours. I return 10, and then I'm going to let you speak to me how to manage the other 90, and I'm going to trust you to take care of me." You see, when I close my ears to God, and I say, "Nope, I'm not going to listen," I am depending on myself, and I'm not trusting him. You see, God is my source for everything. There was a time my wife and I, we were at a missions banquet. It was Saturday night, Sunday morning was Faith Promises, and we had already determined, we felt this is what God wanted us to give to the missions, for our missions Faith Promise. And it was an amount that was faith. We budget for part of it, but there was part of it we had no idea where we're coming from. And I'll never forget it. It's Ron McManus. He's up on the platform and he's speaking. We're sitting at a round table about right over here, in a different auditorium, but right in this location. And God said to me, "Craig, I want you to give a faith promise of $1,000 more than what I've already told you." And I'm going, "God, this is a faith promise. I don't know where it's coming from." And he says, "Hey, it's a faith promise. If I provide it, you give it." That year, friends, God not only gave us that, but he gave us a couple $1,000s more that we didn't see coming. God is our source, and he wants us to be open as a river instead of a reservoir that's dammed up, not just with our treasure, but with our time and our talent. We talked about that in our series this fall on In God We Trust. God is my source, and he wants us to be open, because if the missionaries aren't supported and sent by us, they're not getting there at all. if the Philippian church hadn't provided for Paul. Paul was a tent maker. He worked on the side, but he relied on the gifts of the body of Christ to send him on his way and to provide for his needs. Do you realize that that's how Jesus operated? Luke chapter 8, it tells us, verse 3, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Christ's ministry of seeking and saving the lost was financed by other people. He could be a missionary because he had people supporting him. You and I, we support our missionaries. A few months ago, Jim Bai was here. Anyone remember Jim? He goes all over Africa, ministering in churches in Africa. He shared a story, just sent it on his missions newsletter, that in one area, this gentleman's name was Kamisa, and he was a prominent witch doctor, and he was in a town of Tichibi, Togo. And he was a very cruel man. He was strong in black magic, and he made a contract with demons that they could have all of his children for him to have power. And his kids were several years old, and because of all the kids, each of the children, I believe he had six, they were demon-possessed. They hardly slept at night. There was no peace and no unrest. And one day, the children brought home from school a book. It's called the Book of Hope. The Book of Hope is portions of the Bible that is written in a way for the age group, whether it's children or the poor or the elderly, whatever it is, written in their vernacular so they can understand it. And it's like a Bible study, and it teaches them. It talks about salvation. And when Kamisa came to the part in the Book of Hope where it said Jesus cast out a bunch of demons from the little boy, from a man's son, Kamisa said, "This God is for us." And that night, they went to a movie that's called The God Man that the missionary team was showing. And as the movie was coming to an end, Kamisa begins to cry out, "Save us, Jesus! Save us, Jesus!" And his kids begin to cry out. And all the people that were there, there were a few Christians in that village, they thought because he was the witch doctor, he was making fun of it. But when the pastor came up to give the altar call, the pastor of the village, Kamisa and his whole family went forward. They were delivered of demons and they became born again. The missionaries, were sent to Togo to go into a school to bring the film, The God Man, to a village. And because of that, today, Kamisa and his entire family are in church. They're serving God. They've been delivered from hell and demon possession. You see, you and I, we send missionaries. And if there's no one to send them, they're not going there. Whenever you're in the military, you have the frontline army and you have the supply line. If the front line runs out of supplies, weapons, ammunition, food, armor, clothing, blankets, they can't fight anymore. Friends, our missionaries are the frontline soldiers. We, in the churches in America and even churches around the world, are the supply line. What is so exciting is that some of the very countries that we have sent missionaries to, and they've planted churches and raised up congregations, now those churches are giving to missions, and they're sending their people to other parts of the world. Some of them are even sending missionaries here to America because they see the need. All people matter to God, and God uses His church to send missionaries around the world. Those are the first two reasons we give to missions. The third and final reason that we give to missions is because it helps me hear from God, increase my faith, and experience miracles. That's what missions does. A missions faith promise does. A few weeks ago, we had Tim Enlow, and he talked about hearing from God. How many would like to hear from God? Amen. Do you realize a missions faith promise is an opportunity to do that? Look in your bulletin this morning. Can I borrow someone's faith promise card? Anyone have? Thank you. I want everyone to take this card out. This is a faith promise card. And I want you to take this home this week and pray about what does God want you to give to missions? Okay? Here's the thing. It is a missions faith promise card. What you give, we have an offering the first Sunday of the month where you can put your faith promise in. You can put it in any Sunday. But it goes to helping us support missionaries and send missionaries around the world to support missions. It is not a tithe faith promise. You don't rob from Peter to pay Paul. You don't take from your tithe. Okay? The tithe goes directly to the storehouse. The missions faith promise is on top of it. Secondly, the second word is faith. Okay? This is not a missions budget promise. Well, I've got an extra $5 a month, or I've got extra 50, or I can throw in 100 or whatever it is. It is a faith promise. Now, you might budget some to give the missions. I encourage you to do so. My wife and I do that. But the question is not, what can I give to missions? But the question is, what can God give to missions through me? I shared with you how we had a figure. God said, up at 1,000. So we upped at 1,000, and we were able to give that entire faith promise to God because God provided for it. Some of us just look in the natural and say, this is what I can afford. But I challenge you this week, say, Lord, what resources do you want to funnel through me so I can funnel them to the world? God might tell you to give an amount weekly. He might ask you to give an amount monthly, or might say, just give a one-time gift. And so you're praying, Lord, provide this money for me. It's a faith promise. And the difference between a promise and a pledge is a pledge says, I'm giving this no matter what, but a promise says, I will give as God provides. If God provides me $2,000, I'm not going to go out and buy a new snowmobile, or I'm not going to go to Disney World, okay? But as God provides that extra money, then you pass that on to missions. That's a missions faith promise. We're going to ask you to fill out a card and bring it forward next Sunday. We're not going to call you and say, hey, are you giving your missions faith promises? We're not keeping tabs on that. But I want to encourage you, if you want to hear from God and experience miracles in your life, then take this card home this week and say, Lord, what do you want me to give to missions? I have seen God do so much in my family's life as we have given. He's blessed us incredibly, provided hundreds and even thousands of dollars more than I thought. And I've seen God do incredible things for the churches I've been a part of. When people catch a heart for missions, the church we were at in Iowa, we were a smaller church, about 100 people. We had a mortgage of about $3,000 a month. For 100 people, that's a big mortgage. When we came, they'd only been paying on the mortgage for about a year. They hadn't been paying on that. And the attitude was, we have to take care of ourselves, and we can't worry about missions. But this is the thing I know. God blesses a missions-giving church, and we begin to encourage people to give faith promises. When we went, there was a $286,000 mortgage. By the time we left, in 9 years, God paid off the $286,000 mortgage. We had a flat roof that leaked like a sieve. God helped us to put on a $50,000 roof, debt-free. We had a gravel parking lot that, if you've ever been around Iowa in the wintertime, they have lots of snow, and as it melts, it gets mushy, and you could literally sink an inch or two down in. Even though you've got gravel, it was messy. It made a mess of the carpet. God helped us to put in a $60,000 paved parking lot, debt-free. We had carpet, or the church was built in kind of an L shape, and the lobby ways, the carpet was faded from the windows. It was a Nebraska Cornhusker red carpet, and it was yellowed out. I see a couple of yellow shirts here. It was as yellow as that in these square rectangles. It was dog ugly. To replace it would cost $30,000. Well, we could have said, well, let's not give the missions this year. Let's raise money for carpet. Well, we didn't. We put missions first. And the first year we gave $30,000 to missions as a little church of 100, this is what happened. God gave us $30,000 worth of carpet for $500. We carpeted not only the hallways, but we got the sanctuary. I mean, it was a miracle as we began to give to the heart of God, that all people matter to God. God said, I realize I can trust these people with resources, and he began to funnel blessings to us. And friends, we're beginning to see that take place even here in Casper Faith. This past year, I'm so excited about this, you have increased your missions giving. In 2012, you increased missions giving 27% in this economy. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. And as your leadership, I and the board, we looked at it. We have increased our monthly mission support 31%. We have added 2 brand new missionaries. We increased support for 8 other missionaries. All of our Wyoming missionaries now we're supporting at $100 a month. And we want to say thank you for that. We're looking forward to sending more people to the field. But it hasn't just stopped with missions. God has done some other wonderful things. You see, up to July of 2012, we were in the red $18,000. That's a lot of money. And so as a board, we says we need to make some budget cuts. We cut almost $17,000 out of the budget so that for the next 6 months, we wouldn't go in the red $18,000. But that didn't make up the other $18,000. Friends, I'm happy to tell you that we finished the year with a $5,800 gain for 2012. God did a turnaround of $23,000. It gets better, okay? How do you like it when it gets better? In the fall, we started giving 2% of our general fund income. We were still running in the red, or not making up ground in the fall. We were running in the black, but not making up ground. We started giving 2% of our general income to the Wyoming Assemblies of God to help support them and help support other churches in our district and pastors. And God helped us finish in the black. And it gets even better, because we wanted to remodel our upstairs classrooms for discipleship groups and our children's church areas. It took $7,000, actually almost $8,000, and we couldn't take it out of general fund. And so God began to lay it on people's hearts. We asked some people, and some of you generously gave. $8,000 came in, and we could remodel all of those areas. God is blessing us. Since July, we have seen every Sunday 40 to 50 people more each Sunday the last part of the year as opposed to the year of 2011. You see, when you get the heart of God, God says, you don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to take care of you. And I just want to encourage you, if you want to see God do some miracles in your life, say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's like the song says, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. See, we're not just talking about missions, faith promises. We're talking about some of the things Tim Enlow talked about for the Holy Spirit Conference. What if God has you talk to the garage clerk? What if God says to you about the mechanic who's working on your vehicle, Samantha, Super 8, 7 o'clock? If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to last week's sermon. We talked about that story there. God wants to use us as his representatives to reach the world. Here in Casper, in the state of Wyoming and beyond. Because every single person matters to God. How many of you, you'll take your faith promise card this week and you'll say, I'll pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to give to missions, or actually, what do you want to give through me? How many will do that? Raise your hand. I'll raise it up high. Those are all the people that want to see a miracle take place. I believe God can do that. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for those that are here. That they're struggling with the fact that they matter to you. God, I just pray you'd minister to them this morning. I believe there are some here today that you are struggling with your worth to God. There have been things that have happened, and maybe you've prayed, you've felt like the prayers haven't mattered, and you just kind of feel like God has abandoned you this morning. I want you to know today that you matter, that God cares. He has seen the tears that you've cried, and He knows every single word. Not a single word has fallen to the ground. And that He says, I love you. I haven't left you. And I'm here for you this morning. Some of you here today maybe have anxiety over the thought that God wants you to be a missionary to your world. You'd rather just live a quiet Christian life, but God has called us to be salt and light, His witnesses. And some of you need to let go of your fear and say, God, here I am. Use me. Speak to me. Move through me. Use me in words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Help me to speak to the world around me. Some of you say, I don't know how to hear from God. A missions, faith, promise, or anything. And you're saying, how do I know? Friends, if you're in the Word and you're in God's presence, He'll begin to lay impressions upon you. They will not, if they're against the Word, they're not from Him. But some of you need faith in how you can hear from God. And last of all, there are some here today, you're not right with God. You know that if something happened to you, if you died, that you would not go to heaven. And you're feeling convicted right now. There's a tugging on your heart. That is God. He's saying, I want to enter in a relationship with you. I want you to be my child, my son, my daughter. I want to be your friend. And you need to confess your sin and let go of your life to God and say, Lord, I accept your forgiveness. I receive you. In a moment, we're going to pray, and then we're going to have our leaders come forward. And if you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer for a healing, a family situation, a financial need, you need to get right with God. If you have fear, whatever it might be, maybe you feel you don't matter, we want someone to pray for you. We don't want anyone to leave. We're going to sing one song. When it's finished, you're excused. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. And I pray for a spirit of faith begin to rise. God, give us faith to believe that you love us. Faith to be your witnesses. Faith to hear what you want us to give. Faith to accept that you are a loving, caring God and a God that receives and wants to forgive. God, faith to trust you to take care of our sin problem. Faith to bring our griefs, our sorrows, our financial needs, our physical needs, whatever the needs are now, give us faith to bring them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.